I bring you warm aloha from our...
You're going to have to really talk up. You're so little.
I bring you warm aloha from our executive secretary, Ms. Sue Saito, and also from our 1,800 and plus WMS members in Hawaii. We're just so thrilled to be here. Some of us have traveled 5,000 miles to be here, but it's such a blessing. I know we'll go home warmed in heart and willing to share this wonderful experience with you.
And thank you so much, Ms. Hauser. Now, is there anything else that you want to say to us this morning? All right, they want to give us some lays. Don't you think we should accept them? All in favor, say aye. All right. Now, let's see if Bob Davis does this Hawaiian style. Thank you so very, very much. All right, we have another telegram this morning. We have greetings from the Tennysons. May I read it, please? Fraternal greetings from Women's Missionary Union of Portugal. Our prayers accompany you during your convention. I think it was Monday morning that I announced to you the homegoing of Dr. Nanny Helen Burroughs of Washington, D.C. And I have been told that I said in that announcement that the funeral was to have been yesterday. I want us to remember that the funeral is Thursday afternoon, I believe. And certainly we will be sending flowers from Women's Missionary Union, and many of our members who live in that area will be representing us at the funeral services. I hope that you will remember that there is a cafeteria here in the building. I think you go down one floor and you will find it. There will be posters that will point the way to the cafeteria. There are no eating places anywhere nearby this auditorium, I'm told. We have been so enriched by the stewardship messages from Mrs. Ussery, and I know that you will be eager to get your copy of her book. It is here, and you may purchase one while you're here, Sharing of Possessions. And in that book, you will find most of what you have heard her say. That is the thrilling thing about this new book. It is written almost entirely from the Bible stories which she has given us and many others too. Now, the time has come for us to consider the proposed amendments to our bylaws. Will you please take your book of reports and turn to page 55. The bylaws of Women's Missionary Union may be amended by a two-thirds vote at any annual meeting, provided the amendment has been proposed by the Executive Board, by a committee authorized by Women's Missionary Union, or by a state Women's Missionary Union 3 months previous notice in writing, having been sent to the Executive Secretary, who shall notify the Executive Board and shall call said proposed amendment or amendments to be published in the next succeeding issue of Royal Service. And these proposed amendments were brought to the Executive Board by the Finance Committee and adopted on October 28, 1960, for presentation to this annual meeting. And they have been printed in Royal Service according to our requirement. Now, the amendments are as follows, and I shall take the first one for your consideration. Substitute for Section 1, Article 6, the following. Section 1. The nominating committee shall be composed of the Women's Missionary Union presidents from states qualifying for representation on boards and committees. The executive secretaries are elected department directors shall serve as alternates. The committee shall nominate a candidate for each office to be filled at the next annual meeting. Now, the question is now before you for discussion. Is there discussion upon this proposed amendment? If not, will you listen as we read the present wording of the bylaw? A nominating committee shall be nominated at each annual meeting, whose duty it shall be to nominate a candidate for each office to be filled at the next annual meeting. This committee shall be composed of one member or her alternate elected by her respective state. If a vacancy occurs in this committee, the executive board of the union of the respective state shall determine the manner in which the vacancy shall be filled for the unexpired term. And reading again the proposed amendment. The nominating committee shall be composed of the Woman's Missionary Union presidents from states qualifying for representation on boards and committees. The executive secretaries or elected department directors shall serve as alternates. The committee shall nominate a candidate for each office to be filled at the next annual meeting. Now the question is on substituting the proposed section for the present one. As many of you who are registered as delegates are in favor of this proposed amendment, please stand and remain standing until you can be counted. Only the registered delegates. The registered delegates opposed to this proposed amendment will stand. I see none, and so the proposed amendment carries. All right, now reading the next, which follows the adoption of the first. And so I shall read the two together. The present wording, prior to the annual meeting of Women's Missionary Union, the executive secretary shall secure from the state executive secretaries the names of nominating committee members and alternates and compile a list to be read by the recording secretary in annual meeting. During the first business session of the annual meeting, the recording secretary shall read the nominating committee, including both members and alternates, and call the meeting for organization as hereafter provided. And the proposed amendment, which is in keeping with the one we have just adopted, substitute for Section 2, Article 6, the following. During the first business session of the annual meeting, the recording secretary shall call a meeting of the nominating committee for the election of a chairman, a co-chairman, and a secretary. All registered delegates in favor of this proposed amendment will stand. All right, you may be seated. Those opposed will stand. And I see no opposition, and so this proposed amendment is adopted. All right, now we take the next. And we're going to take several together here, since they are all affecting the same thing. So you will please listen. First of all, however, we take one here which is in keeping with what we have just adopted. The present wording is the nominating committee shall meet during the annual meeting at the call of the recording secretary of the election of a chairman, a co-chairman, and a secretary. A copy of the bylaws of Women's Missionary Union and the special rules of order shall be given by the chairman to each member of the committee. It is proposed to strike out this section since the vice presidents and the executive secretaries and elected department personnel in the states, these people have the bylaws of Women's Missionary Union and special rules of order. Therefore, there is no reason for us to have a bylaw which calls for the secretary furnishing the members of the nominating committee with bylaws and special rules of order. Therefore, it is simply to keep in line with what we have just done. Those favoring this proposed amendment will please stand. All right, you may be seated. Those opposed to this amendment, would you stand? And it is adopted. Now we read the next. Amend Section 5, Article 6 by striking out the two references to resident members and adding a footnote making the section read. Section 5. The nominating committee shall elect by ballot the following nominees each year: president, recording secretary, and two members at large. In the event of a vacancy among members at large, a nominee for the unexpired term shall be elected. You notice there a starred footnote. Footnote, the 15 members at large and resident members elected prior to 1961 will complete their five-year terms. Vacancies occurring within this group will not be filled. Now we'll read the present wording so that you can see the meaning of the proposed change. The present wording, the nominating committee shall elect by ballot the following nominees each year: president, recording secretary, two members at large, and one resident member. In the event of a vacancy among members at large or resident members, a nominee for the unexpected term shall be elected. In other words, we are including in the members at large the resident members. There could be five resident members, there could be more, or there could be fewer. As we propose this amendment to nominate among the members of our convention 10 members at large. Now the following ones refer to this, and so I shall continue to read before we take the vote. If you'll turn to the next page, amend Section 2, Article 8 by striking out the reference to resident members and adding a footnote making the section read. Section 2, the officers and 10 members at large shall constitute the executive board. The executive secretary shall be ex officio a member without vote. See footnote to Section 5, Article 6. Where's that footnote?
Same one.
It's the same one. Present wording. The officers, 10 members at large, and 5 resident members shall constitute the executive board. The executive secretary shall be ex officio a member without vote. Amend Section 3, Article 8 by striking out the two references to resident members, making the section read. Section 3. Two members at large shall be elected at each annual meeting and shall hold office for 5 years or until their successors are elected. No member at large shall be eligible for two consecutive terms. The present wording, two members at large and one resident member shall be elected at each annual meeting and shall hold office for 5 years or until their successors are elected. No member at large and no resident member shall be eligible for two consecutive terms. Amend Section 4, Article 8 by striking out the reference to resident members, making the section read. Section 4, the members at large shall not be employed by Women's Missionary Union or Women's Missionary Union of any state concurrent with their term of office. Present wording, the members at large and the resident members shall not be employed by Women's Missionary Union or Women's Missionary Union of any state concurrent with their term of office. Strike out Section 5, Article 8, present wording. The resident members shall be members of Women's Missionary Unions in churches of the Birmingham Association. Now, all of this means very simply that instead of electing 15 members at large, 10 members at large will be elected, and they may include as many resident members as are chosen by the nominating committee, but they are not set out as such. And so if you adopt the proposed amendments to these bylaws, you will be adopting the plan of 10 members at large instead of 15, and they may include as few or as many resident members as the nominating committee chooses. All favoring the adoption of these proposed amendments will stand. All right, you may be seated. Those opposed will stand. I see no one standing. And so these proposed amendments are adopted. And now for the last. Amend Section 1, Article 9, by striking out the word 9 and inserting 7, making the section read, Section 1, the Executive Board is authorized to have an Executive Committee composed of the President, the Executive Secretary, and 7 other members. Amend Section 3, Article 9, by striking out the word 4 and inserting 3, making the section read, Section 3, the Executive Committee shall meet at the call of the President or upon the request of 3 of its members. It shall make a complete report at the next meeting of the Executive Board. Now, this proposed amendment is before you. Is there a discussion? If not, all favoring the proposed amendment will stand. You may be seated. Those opposed, stand. I see no one standing, and so the proposed amendment is adopted. Now we'll ask Mrs. Robert Fling, our recording secretary, to call a meeting of the present nominating committee, which you have just adopted, the vice presidents from the states, or their alternates, the executive secretaries, are the elected department directors serving instead of the executive secretaries if they're not present. All right, Ms. Fling.
Madam President, I should like to call this meeting for organization of the nominating committee immediately after the morning session. If you will go through the carpeted hallway to your left, you will find Mrs. Delosier, our hostess chairman, standing at the door of the nursery to direct you through the nursery to a room marked for our committee meeting.
And the proposed amendments which you have just adopted go into effect immediately. Therefore, the nominating committee that will report this afternoon will report accordingly. Now we shall sing a hymn together, Ms. Grooms.
And let us stand as we sing, "The Church's One Foundation is Jesus Christ the Lord," hymn number 26.
As we approach 1962, the year that we have set aside in our Jubilee Advance celebration as the year of church extension, with the theme, Our Churches Reaching Out. We are thrilled with the theme of this annual meeting, Ye Shall Be Witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Already our hearts have been thrilled as we have listened to missionaries telling about churches in other lands. On yesterday afternoon, we heard about churches and missions in our own land. Also in our own land, Hawaii, we are to hear about a church this morning, a wonderful church. I visited that church one Wednesday night and learned some of the most valuable lessons of church stewardship that I have ever learned in all my life. And so we have asked our missionary, Robert Davis, to tell us about our church in Hilo, Hawaii.
Ms. Mathis. I'm grateful for the opportunity of sharing with you this morning something of what you have been doing through your missionaries and now through the Hawaii Baptist Convention out in the new state of Hawaii. The story of a church is necessarily the story of the people who make up that church. Think back with me, if you will, to the spring of 1956. A young deacon and his wife are kneeling beside a hospital bed as the life of their little 9-year-old boy is slipping away. Their prayer is not one of question or of rebellion. It is simply, Father, we thank you that we've had him for a little while, and now we offer him back to you. Perhaps as they knelt there, many things might have gone through their minds, because it was through this little boy that they came to know Christ as their Savior. When he was very small, he'd been injured very seriously, and there was no hope for his living. And so this fine couple visited every temple on their island, trying to find some priest who could heal him and give him back his health. In their search, they discovered a Baptist church. In that church, they found friendly people who taught them the way of Christ and led them to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. As they knelt and as they prayed, in your mind, can you see the doctor as he comes in and makes a quick examination and then says, he's gone. The doctor begins to apologize and says, I'm so sorry that I couldn't save the young boy's life. And I hear the mother, as she says, now, doctor, that's all right. Our boy's with the Lord. Now it's May 1960, a dark Sunday night. And out of the stillness of the night comes a rushing wave of water 35 feet high as it crosses the main street of our town. Inside a small house near the water, an unsaved mother calls out to her daughter, pray, pray to your God, as the wave lifts up their house and moves them along upon it. Now then, in your mind's eye, see with me the miracle of God as the house breaks apart and that little family of four floats out upon two mattresses until the water sets them down gently in a vacant lot. And the mother's testimony is, your God has saved us. I'm so happy to report to you this morning that the mother now knows the daughter's Savior as her Savior too. Walk with me now beside a young prison inmate as he goes to the administration building of the prison and speaks to the officer in charge. Then he turns to the missionary and hands him a $10 bill and says, I want to have a part in your new mission work in South Vietnam. This money has been earned penny by inmate labor in that prison. This is the spirit of the people who make up the Kinole Baptist Church in Hilo, Hawaii. 16 years ago, the work on the island of Hawaii was begun by Dr. Charles Leonard, who covered the entire island witnessing and distributing Christian tracts. It's difficult to find a person today who does not remember the Baptist missionary who so faithfully sowed the seed during these early days. The seed planted by the Leonards was watered by the Tucker Callaways and the William Haltons and began to grow to maturity under the ministry of the H.B. Ramsers. It was cultivated by the work of Miss Wilma Weeks and Miss Mary Lee Ernest and by the challenges of island-born Henry Ayabi. Now the church stands, faltering at times, to be sure, but it stands as a living testimony to the power of God through the preaching of the gospel. In the early days, the services were held in an old house which served as the community center for the Kumeyaay, or the neighborhood organization. And Bible classes were held in garages or in backyard sheds. Then after the tidal wave of 1946, members and friends of the church gathered salvaged lumber from the wreckage and erected the first Baptist church building on the island of Hawaii. It was a simple building with single walls made of boards of differing thicknesses which left cracks between every joint, had a metal roof. The walls were screened in the upper portion but had no windows to keep out the cold mountain air in the nighttime. But it was a church, and the people were proud of it, for it was their church. The congregation grew, and the walls were pushed out, and the building was enlarged. And now, after 15 years, timely gift, Lottie Moon Christmas offering matched with sacrificial giving by the members themselves, have provided adequate buildings that are a credit to our denomination and to the work of our Lord. Churches in Hawaii usually have one of several types of ministries. Some of our churches minister almost exclusively to military personnel. Some of our churches minister to both military and local people. Some of our churches minister almost exclusively to local people. The Kinole Baptist Church falls into this latter group. From 75 to 80% of our congregation was made up of Americans of Japanese ancestry. And one by one, they have been won from usually a background of the Buddhist faith to a living faith in Christ. All of us, when we think of Hawaii, think of beauty, I suppose. We think of the beauty of Hawaii's green mountains and the beauty of the fiery volcanoes and the beauty of the orchids. But fairer than any Catalina orchid is the beauty of Jesus Christ as seen in his people. The beauty of one who has come out of darkness into the light of the life in Christ. About 6 months ago, a young woman called me on the phone, and she quickly told her problem. She had made a profession of faith in our church, but had not received the assurance of her salvation. She had not had an experience of knowing that her sins had been forgiven, and one particular sin was bothering her. Back in her previous life, she'd committed a sin that she felt was extremely bad. And her fears now were that her family was going to be punished because of this sin. And she was afraid God was going to punish her. And the feeling of guilt and the feeling of sin was heavy upon her. She told her story over the telephone. And then as simply as I knew how, I said to this lady, if you owed a debt at one of our local stores, and I went down and paid that debt, then you wouldn't owe the debt anymore, would you? And she said, no. Then I said, Jesus Christ paid for every one of your sins on the cross. There was a silence for a moment. I could almost see her as she thought about what I'd been trying to explain to her. And then she said, oh, yes, yeah, she said, that's it. That's it. He's paid for them, hasn't he? That's wonderful. Several weeks later, as she came to be baptized, we had our little meeting for our prayer before she was to be baptized, and as once again I went over to the plan of salvation to be certain that they didn't think their sins were going to be washed away as they were baptized. And I came to the place that I mentioned that Jesus had paid for our sins. She just interrupted and said, "Yes, and isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful?" The beauty of Jesus Christ in the lives of his people. The four major organizations that you have in your churches are found in our church: the Sunday School, the Training Union, Woman's Missionary Union, the Brotherhood. In these ways, the church is typical. But in the missionary spirit of the people, the church is unusual. Before our revival last year, the men of the Brotherhood met in the early morning hours before their own work for prayer.